The major commonality with yachts and syndications is that it takes a team, and you have to have the right person in the right seat, the right people. It's all about the people. There's really no other way to solve it without getting the right person in the right detail.
Welcome to Investing in the US, a podcast for real estate investors, business owners, and aspiring entrepreneurs looking to grow their wealth by investing in US real estate. I'm your host, Reid Goossens, and so far, I've acquired over $800 million worth of investments on various properties across the United States. On this podcast, I interview go-getters, risk takers, and the best in the business to learn more about their investment journey and the cutting-edge strategies they are applying towards building a legacy. For more on growing your own wealth and by investing in the US, visit www.reidgoossens.com. Today on the show, I have the pleasure of chatting with Scott Kidd. Now, Scott is a yacht captain for the rich and famous on those super yachts that you see on Below Deck on Bravo. He's also a multifamily syndicator, and he's been involved in the acquisitions of over $70 million of real estate in the past 3 years, and he enjoys helping other yachties and other people in the yachting business put their hard-earned money to work so they can be, you know, make advantages of the tax depreciations and owning multifamily real estate. If you've ever seen that show, Below Deck, then this episode will be exactly that, but with a little bit of multifamily investing. So I'm really pumped and excited to have Scott on the show with me today. But enough out of me, let's get him out here. G'day, Scott. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today, mate?
Pretty good. Thank you so much for having me on there. I'm really appreciate being here.
No, well, look, well, I remember when you emailed me and I was like, this guy's interesting. For all those people out there who don't know, I spent a hot minute in the yachting industry, and it's an industry, if you don't know, exists, and probably a lot of people didn't know that existed before the Below Deck show came on board. I was like, I was on a Below Deck before Below Deck was cool. You know what I mean? Like, but you've been in the industry for 25 years, and I've got mates who are still in the industry to this day that I met back in 2009, 2010. But just for those people listening, just maybe break down what this industry is, because it's such a weird industry that only like the top, 0.001% of people are really involved with, right?
It's it's a very unique industry. It used to be kind of a cottage industry before the show and stuff. And it still kind of is a secret, because it's, you know, you're really talking about maybe 5,000, 6,000 families can really afford these yachts, and there's only a certain amount of crew working at that time. But we go to a lot of unique places, see a lot of these places, and travel a lot. And, you know, people have get a little misguided and thinking that, you know, we get to party and hang out with the guests and we're living that lifestyle and stuff. But really, we're working to make them have a lifestyle, pretty much. That's what, you know, some of our days when we're on charter, stuff like that, are 18 hours plus. And, you know, we're working, you know, we're cleaning. It's 24/7 job, you know, security, anchor watches. We're doing all those things. But we do get to have fun too, you know, because when we do get some downtime, and, you know, we get to be in, you know, in the Mediterranean, in the Caribbean, you know, New England. Last summer, we went to Alaska, and, you know, it's given me an opportunity to meet a lot of people. They're doing some really interesting things. And we've chartered with a lot of like very elite families. And the funny thing about them is that they will tell you, they like to tell you about how they made their money, or what they, you know, what they did, which is kind of unique, because you're speaking directly to the person that has done it and has already achieved a certain amount of success, because they are able to charter that yacht for $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a week. And it's a very unique industry that I think that it's not for everyone, because at sea you're away from family and friends, and, you know, you miss a lot of the holidays and stuff. So it's not all glitz and glamour. There is quite a bit of grind to it.
No, I remember vividly, I was 23, 24, and doing the dock walking back in Monaco and in Nice when I was in the south of France. And, you know, you get the one day job here, 100 euros a day, you get fed, you scrub the boat, you know, the crew comes, you know, they've come off a charter, they're screwed, they're tired, they need to go sleep. You know, they bring some day workers to wash down the boat, and then to get, you know, to turn it around and get ready for another charter. But it's an industry that is, at first hand, it's mega, mega, mega wealthy dollars. Like, you know, how many crew are on your boat right now at any one time?
Right now it's nine to 10. And we have rotational crew. I'm 6 weeks on, 6 weeks off. And we have rotation for engineers and the chefs. So there's really a total of 12 of us. And the reason why we have our OTAs is because the boat never really stops. You know, we went to Alaska last year. We went, you know, since this particular owner bought the boat, we haven't stopped for the last 2.5, getting on 3 years now. And it's continuous and ongoing. And it's just something that people don't understand. I've gotten the question a lot of times, like, well, when you go back to the shipyard or you go back to Florida, do you guys take time off? And it's like, well, shipyard's the last time the captain or the engineers ever take time off, because then that's when you do all this, you know, the large project management. The last refit we did was over $2 million. So you have to be on top of, you know, all these contractors. And it's similar to the multifamily stuff where you can't take your eyes off of it. It's a management piece of the puzzle that it, as the captain and the engineers and the heads of department, you have to stay on top of it, or else it gets out of hand and the owner is probably not satisfied. And then the worst thing will happen is they sell the boat and they tell all their friends, and then not just one boat goes away, but 10.
Yep. What's the name of the boat you're on?
I can't really say.
Oh, you can't say.
Yeah. But, I just, you know, it's just one of those things. We sign NDAs and stuff, but I mean, you can look me up, you'll find it.
Yeah. But for the listeners, it's a 50 meter yacht, right? And
yeah, it's 50 meter.
I remember back in the day, you know, pricing of those types of yachts anywhere from 750 grand to $1 million a meter. So you sort of can, you know, these are, for the listeners out there, this is uber luxury hotels on the water, and it takes a full staff to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to keep it clean. And there's a whole stigma in the yachting industry, if you didn't know, that once the surface is clean, you're going to clean it again. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you'll have these huge boats. And I remember being a deckhand, and I would start at one end and would go to the other end. And they'll take us a couple of days. You might have one day where it's just sitting there, you're not doing anything, but there's something else to be fixed or to be done. And then you start again, you clean it again. You know, like it's constant maintenance, it's constant tinkering. And, you know, these are for the wealthy. And I remember my yacht owner was a Russian oligarch. And we weren't, you know, weird things like you weren't allowed to know how to speak Russian on board. Like they just didn't want to know that, right? Like you know, none of the crew was allowed to know that. You know, before my time on my particular boat, there was guys who were trained in firearms. They got away with that. But, you know, there's just you're in this world that, and I had a sneak 1 year, you probably had 25 years. I could only imagine over a beer the freaking stories you would have. But it was just such an eye-opening experience for me to how some people live their life. Like this is not just you take the average man, even you take the average wealthy man, this is well above all of that. It's a different world. It's a James Bond world.
Yeah, this is like something I compare it to people. I think it was Chris Rock said something like, well, Shaquille O'Neal is rich because he gets paid $100 million a year or whatever, and whatever his contract was, I forget the number. But he said the person that is able to pay him $100 million a year, that's wealthy.
Yes.
You don't know who that person is. You wouldn't know most of these people from anyone walking down the street. They're, you know, most of them, especially the older wealth, they're used to having people around. They're not showy. They're used to having staff. They're used to having things arranged for them. So they'll tell you, hey, we want X, Y, and Z. We want to be here at this time, this, and this. Talk to my assistant. Arrange this. Yep. You know, it's one of the very unique things that it took other people I've dealt with in business, especially in the apartments and stuff like that, is that our rate of completion is yesterday in yachts. Mm-hmm. Like when the billionaire is telling you what he wants fixed, before he finishes, he's going to ask you if you're already done.
Yep. And so it's the thinking ahead, and it's also, you know, the other element to the yachting world. It's you scratch a car, it costs you a certain amount. You scratch a yacht, you know, exponentially more.
It's a lot, and then that's why a lot of the guys on our crew and stuff, they have to be able to do paint repair and you know, little stuff like that, because you can't really outsource it. A lot of times you're an anchor stuff. So one of the main mantras that I've always had is, and what I grew up in my life as a kid is, got to be self-sufficient. You know, it was good in some ways, is because it grew me into being able to be independent and take care of stuff. But as I got into business and jobs, it made me take on more than I should have. Because I see you have the book Who Not How behind you, and I love that book because it's helped me as a captain too. It's because, like, well, let that head of department deal with it. This is what I want. I tell them, give them instructions, you know, and it's the same thing in the multifamily stuff. Is, you know, you let the acquisitions guy, you look it over after it's done, and you take it, you take a look at the due diligence guy, you take a look at it after, and, you know, we all work together. There's some overlap, but you let the person that's the expert at it be the expert at it, and you don't try to micromanage, because micromanagement, if you have to micromanage someone, either you don't need that person or you don't need you. One of the two, you know.
Yeah,
I love that. Somebody needs to be out of the equation.
Yeah. Yep, I love that. It's
reworking the same things that don't need to be done. Only one person should be the expert on the team. So it's just something else that's very, very unique to, you know, what we.
I want to pivot and talk a little bit and bring the analogy of the yachts and how you manage people on the boats. And I'm sure a lot of us have seen I've experienced it. You know, the average listener might have just watched a show of Below Deck. You can see the drama, you can see the management styles. But let's talk about your transition into the multifamily, because a big 200 unit apartment has a crew, right? It's got a property manager. Yeah. It's got maintenance people. It's got, you know, you're not looking after the wealthy and famous, but you're looking after tenants, right? And it needs 24/7 care. It's not on the water, but it's, you know, it has very similar boat-like tendencies. So talk to me a little bit how you got started in the industry, or how you came to a point where you said, you know what, I'm ready to start investing my money into multifamily.
Well, it started for me because I was, you know, I always loved real estate, and you know, I started as my family got bigger. We bought a house, then it got bigger. Our family got bigger, so we bought another house, rented that one, and then we did that for a while. And then, you know, we moved to another area, and then, you know, bought another house, sold those, and I had a friend of mine. We were in Fort Lauderdale, and we were having some drinks on the beach, I was asking him what he did in real estate. And he said, well, as my other friend had told me, he had bought and sold an apartment building. I said, well, that's interesting. Like, what did you do? And he said, well, I bought and sold this 46 unit apartment building in Houston, Texas. And, you know, and I made X amount of money, and it was, you know, in the middle seven figures. And I said, well, you can do that. And he said, yeah, you can do it. I did it. Anybody can do it. And that was kind of my aha moment. And I've always done some kind of side hustles and stuff, because as you well know, the yachting industry is unstable. You know, you're here today, gone today. If the owner's business takes a hit, he gets divorced, he's just not interested anymore. The boat can go away. You can go from, you know, hero to zero in the same day. All the crew, the boat gets laid up, and the boat's for sale. And that had happened, you know, sometimes in my career and stuff. And I've always wanted to prevent that. When, you know, wife and two kids, I want to make sure that, you know, there's something there. I get some passive income. And with that story on the beach, I started, you know, researching and stuff, and then going to meetups, and started my own meetup, real estate investors, because I felt I didn't know about it. So I thought that maybe other people that work on the yachts want to know about it, and other business people. Come to find out, even just a lot of business people in general really don't understand that they can invest in apartments or commercial real estate. They might have been in business for 20 years, but they never thought to buy the building, or they never thought to do that and realize that that could be a big tax offset for them. And that's where it all started for me. And then I just kept meeting more and more people doing more and more impressive and amazing things. And, you know, eventually got to where I was, you know, confident enough to join and be teams and, you know, help out where I can to help, you know, close these deals and get things done.
Even being given my experience, and I've got a couple of close friends who are still in the industry of yachting, that is, it is a prime hunting ground for raising capital, because you have a lot of people who earn big money, you know, the crew, you know, like, you know, and yes, some of it is tax-free because they may be domiciled in the Caymans or whatever, but they need to still have their money working for them. And, you know, you see the tips on the below deck that come across, you know, some people buy crap with it, a car or Botox or whatever.
Most people do.
You know, but that niche, I think, is – I've always thought it'd be – given my time in the industry, like, how do I get back into tapping into those folks? Because a lot of, you know, bosuns and stews and, you know, captains, they earn good money, but they don't know where to put it, right? And so having that conduit, I think it's a fantastic kudos to you for you know, still being in the industry, but having that, like, conduit to this other world, and then, you know, layering on top, if you have a cheeky conversation with one of the people that hire your boats out, maybe there's another, you know, maybe there's more money that comes down the way, you know. So it's an ecosystem that is ripe for education about the right things, whether it's multi or self storage or just actively investing in commercial real estate.
For me, my main purpose is what I'm passionate about, is just letting people know that they have these options and opportunities, because a lot of people don't have an exit strategy from yachts either, and they don't necessarily need to, you know, it doesn't matter to me if they invest with me or anything like that, but I'd like them to know that not just in real estate, there's so many options out there, especially United States of America. You know, I mean, I've said this many times, like, you know, best country in the world is all relative. That's, you know, to your culture, your wants, desires, means. But as far as, like, financial opportunity, it's USA all the way, bar none. There is nothing like it. You can start and fail a multitude of businesses in the same day and get up and do it again tomorrow. I mean, it's, you know, I've had businesses that didn't do so well and have failed as well, but I, you know, but you can always get back up and try again. And, you know, that's what the thing is in a lot of other countries, people aren't taught that they can do these things, or they don't have access, or they're not taught that they have access. Here, we're taught that we have access to everything and that, you know, can do it. And that's like it's kind of a freer thinking mindset that, you know, things are possible.
Yep. Well, talk to me a little bit about, like, when I mention my story, when I'm on other people's podcasts, that I crossed the Atlantic Ocean, I worked for a Russian billionaire, blah, 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 for that 12 months. Everyone's always very interested in that story. And they ask me, oh, that must be the aha moment, because you're rubbing shoulders with the billionaires. And I'm like, well, actually, no, it was well before my real estate career. But, you know, you look back on it and you think, what did I learn from the industry? And one thing I did learn was, you know, the thing called dock walking, which was, it's brutal when you don't know what it is, but it's constant rejection. You're walking around on the boats, you're knocking on doors, you're having dressing up. Cold. Like, it's like cold calling, right? And and I remember that got me the day job for the $100 euros. Yeah. That got me the and it was just sheer guerrilla marketing if you look back at it.
But
my question to you is, you've been in the business for 25 years, you've rubbed shoulders with some very wealthy individuals. Are there anything else that, you know, you worked your way up the chain? I got out because I had my fun and I did my deckhand stuff and I was like, you know, I'm done. But are there any other things that you've learned, question back to you, surrounding yourself with this opulence, this wealth, that you've maybe taken on board or maybe subconsciously taken on board?
Well, it's something that I knew before, is that, you know, happiness and all that comes from within. It's not all these outside things, because I've worked and been around a lot of people that have all this, you know, decadence and opulence, and a lot of them have made it through any means necessary, or some of them have done that. And those are the ones that are not usually very happy, but the ones that were already happy and have good family, good people around them, it didn't really matter how much money they had. They were just really good at this one thing, and they kept going, and those people stayed around them, and, you know, they kind of supported them. They had a good support network. But there's, you know, it's just money and material things don't make you happy. If you focus on those things, you'll never be happy. But if you focus on things that you're passionate about, you know, I'm passionate about real estate and yachts and just being on the water. So, you know, it's fun for me. I like doing it. And once it's no longer fun for me being on the water, you know, I'll have to take a step back and, you know, pivot or do something else, because you know, that's, you know, you have to go for things that you want to do. Cause I tried working in the corporate world. It didn't work out very well for me or them, mostly them. Yeah, I wasn't good at it.
I want to pivot back before we wrap up the show. You mentioned something earlier, which I thought was quite interesting about your management of your teams in on the boat and making sure you have the right head of department dealing with something and how that's very similar to the syndication world. What analogies or alignments do you see between that when you're trying to pull together a syndication or you're trying to pull together a crew to get on a charter very quickly and get it up and running? It's, you know, they similar things need to happen as a project manager to get the thing, you know, pun unintended, you know, boat on the water, you know, because the management style doesn't really change across whether you're managing equity raises or banks or brokers versus making sure you've got all the vendors and the people on board to make sure the trip is incredible for that billionaire or that millionaire who's hired you out for a week.
The main thing, the major commonality with these two things, yachts and syndications, is that, you know, it takes a team and you have to have the right person in the right seat, the right people. It's all about the people. You know, there's really no other way to solve it without getting the right person in the right detail. Because if you don't do that, if you just think, oh, well, let's just try this out because Johnny was good at math, put him on, you know, underwriting a deal, that's probably not going to work out. But if, you know, say friends of some on the boat, you know, this guy has a lot of experience as a chief officer and he's done a bunch of charters in this area and he gets along great with everyone. Our interests are aligned and we clicked, you know, the aligned interest is so very important. I'd, you know, much rather have someone that probably doesn't have much experience, but we have a common goal or aligned interest. We can see the same goal, same vision. That's much more important regardless of what you're doing, because then you can always say, hey, that didn't, you know, you can try things and say, hey, that didn't work. Hey, let's all kind of learn and grow together and try to figure it out rather than no, we have to do it this way. You know, there's my way or the highway, you know, there's your way, my way, but they're all a way. They're not the mm-hmm. way.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I remember one of the things coming out of backpacking and traveling across the world and being on the boats, and I'm sure you've got this quite well in terms of a callus on your hand, is assessing people reading people really, really quickly. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure when you get presented a crew and you're someone on paper looks like X, Y, Z, this person might be really freaking good as my chief stewardess or whatever it might be, but you meet them and they're like, well, hang on, they don't fit the culture, and I can quickly call out BS really, really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
That was something that I always look back on my time at the boats. Actually, that harnessed that sharpened that tool for me really quite well at a young age. And I've used that obviously in my career, but that sort of calling out the BS, or I used to say to someone, if I can't meet you and think that I could have a beer with you and then we're not, you know, just, you know, I know there's business and beer and pleasure, but you've got to quickly cut through the BS to get through the, is this person genuine or not, to make sure that when you're at the coal face or it's midnight on an anchor watch and you've got a billionaire on board, you know, you can rely on them to do their effing job, because and I don't know if you've had that sort of experience being on the boats.
Well, I have, because I always think, you know, what was this going to be like to live with this person? You know, their personality, they might not get along with so-and-so, but, you know, one of the main things I do with anything I'm doing is, especially on the boats, is one of my main mantras is don't make your problems mine. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, because I won't make my problems yours. So, you know, we all have to get along. We always have, you don't necessarily have to like each other. We do all have to work together. And we do have to treat each other with respect, you know, without, you know, and that's the thing, is like, if someone's got a big ego that comes in and they're, you know, taller than everyone, they're bigger than life and everything, that's probably not going to gel very well with me and the rest of the crew, because I'm pretty easygoing. My parents told me that, and it wasn't a compliment, was that you're so relaxed that if you're any more relaxed, you'd be dead. So And so it wasn't a compliment because, you know, they were like, I guess, trying to get me to do something. But, it, you know, the personality has to gel with it, you know, because if you have, you have to have an ego big enough to have confidence to in what you're doing, but you don't want to have an ego so big that you override everyone else.
I love it. Well, mate, look, at the end of the show, we're about to dive into the top five investing tips. But as we wrap up to look at, you know, as you're coming into the yachting, from the yachting world into the multifamily syndication space, what are your plans for 2025 and beyond as you start to build this awesome pipeline or conduit of educating the yachty industry, an industry with a lot of money, a lot of wealth, into understanding where they can put that wealth in commercial real estate?
Well, my goals are to continue to get the education out there and to connect with as many, you know, many people, yacht crew and yacht businesses and people as possible. And I started a podcast much like yourself because I want to interview other people that have done successful things in businesses in yachts. And I plan to do at least 50 episodes this year. And I plan on closing on, you know, helping close on three apartment syndications this year. And, you know, for the most part, my main thing is just to put the word out, let people know that they have these options and opportunities, and not necessarily my options and opportunities, but every, you know, there are options and opportunities. There's something out there for you, you know, and, you know, I had my aha moment and, you know, I wanted to help them find theirs.
Yeah. I love it. I love it, mate. Well, look, however we can support as a former yachty to a real one. I never got as high as up as the deckhand. Really awesome to get you on the show. But at the end of every show, we like to do the top five investing tips. Ready to get into it?
Sure, why not?
Mate, question number one is, what's the daily habit you practice to keep on track towards your goals?
I do breathing and meditate every morning to keep myself calm.
Love it. Which type of meditation do you use?
I do like a, I use like a Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he has a multitude of them. I try to do different ones all the time. Mainly I just try to get silent, quiet, but I do variations of the Wim Hof breathing method, and it puts me kind of into a relaxed state. And whether it's 2 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever, it's whatever I need at that time.
You know. Just a reset. Love it. Yeah. Question number two is, who's been the most influential person in your career to date?
In yachts or real estate?
It doesn't matter.
Well, I've had been friends with Tate Seymour. He's been very influential with me. He's always helped me a lot, and just a good, genuine person that's always been there to help me.
Question number three is, it could be in the yachting business as well, but what's the most influential tool that you use in your business, whether it be the yachting business or the real estate business? And when I say tool, it could be a physical tool like a notepad and pen or a phone, or it could be a piece of software that you just can't run the business without. What is it?
The software that I use is Go High Level through a marketing company, which it helps me keep in contact with, you know, and follow up with people, you know, whether we're doing events or my, you know, podcasts or investors, other meetings and stuff. It's got a great CRM, and it's a kind of an all-in-one package for social media and marketing websites. It's a great tool.
Awesome. Go High Level Marketing. I've never heard of that, but we'll have to definitely check that out.
Lead Connector is, I think, one of the things.
Connector. Gotcha. Yeah. Question number four, in one sentence, what was the biggest failure in your career? And what did you learn from that failure?
The biggest failure I had was before I got into the boating was we had a software business where we're selling POS systems and buying, selling hard drives. And we lost it all. And then some, and I ended up back in Jamaica, which my dad's Jamaican, I'm mom's American, and lived in Jamaica when I was young. I was back there, and a friend of a friend needed somebody to work on the yachts. So then I went up there, borrowed the money for the ticket and the money in my pocket, and the rest was history for me. But what I learned from that failure was that sometimes you need to go through that failure, or what you think is maybe the darkest moment that you might be going through might be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yep. sometimes when you get to the bottom of the barrel and you put everything into it, and your identity's all there, and it can fall away from you because outside of your control or naivety or whatever it might be, it's a real wake up call of like, you know, how you get up the next day will mentally prepare you for challenges that come down the track anytime.
It wasn't, you know, it was just, you know, life has a funny way of working out, you know, and I was, you know, I had less than anything. Financially, it was pretty bad, but I was actually back in Jamaica, didn't have any money or nothing, but had no responsibility, had nothing. It's probably one of the best times in my life because I didn't have anything to think about other than getting down to my friend's bar and making enough money to go back up the hill.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Last question, my friend, is where can people reach you to continue the conversation? They want to be in your sphere. Where do they go?
Invest with ScottKidd.com and Yachty Real Estate Investors. You can find me. Our investment group.
Awesome, mate. Well, look, Warner, thank you so much for jumping on today's show. It's a real trip down memory lane for me. I just want to reflect some of the things that I took away from today's show. I think that, you know, not until having you on the show do you really understand the similarities between pulling together a crew on a boat and making sure all the behaviors and the boisterousness of each individual person is correctly aimed in the right direction to help you get a job done in a very short period of time. It's very similar to pulling together big multifamily deals and pulling together the right team members to make sure that they are all executing on, you know, the same pistons to get the deal done. But also just, you know, having an identity that you know that you're going to help people with educating them on using their money in an industry where that is, you know, generates a lot of money for the people who work in it. And where can they put that money? How can they put it to work in a safe, reliable way through education? So I really, really thank you so much for jumping on today's show. I wish you the best of luck with everything you're building. Just giving my short time in the industry, I think it's an untapped boom town for you in terms of the people that I think you're going to meet who want to actively put their money together. So enjoy the rest of your week. We'll catch up soon. And thanks very much for jumping on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your time and taking the time to talk to me. I had a lot of fun and I hope to catch up with you soon.
Awesome stuff, mate. Well, look, there you have it. A cracking episode jam-packed with Scott Kidd. If you do want to check him out, remember, head over to investwithscottkidd.com or search Yachty's Scott Kidd and he'll come up with his investment group. Now, if you do like this show, the easiest way to give back is to give it a 5-star review on iTunes or to share it with a friend. Just click the like and subscribe button. We're going to do this all again next week. So remember, be bold, be brave, and go give life a crack.